If you open up the website for the National Conference of Personal Managers, you'll see a code of ethics, their mission statement, membership listings, peer reviews, advocacy, education, and also what does a talent manager do? If you open up the SAG-AFTRA website, you're going to get a slightly different definition, a different take, and a different explanation. And if you talk to myself or today's guest, you're going to get another set of definitions, explanations, and maybe some opinions. That's very important. When you're shopping for a car, you should see a lot of different car dealerships and compare. So absolutely do your research, do your competitive analysis, and listen up today to Anthony Leonis from Shushu Entertainment.
Anthony Leonis, talent manager, professional, jack of all trades.
Welcome to Passion to Power with your host, Michelle Zeitlin. She's a creative producer who quote-unquote wears many hats. She's also a talent and literary manager and founded the company Morzap Productions and Management. She develops people and projects across all media. Her guests encompass the gamut, from artists to authors, actors to activists. Please welcome Michelle Zeitlin, Passion to Power.
Break down who you are now in terms of being a talent rep and the kinds of talent you represent for us.
So as a talent rep, as Anthony Leonis, I work at Shushu Entertainment. I rep storytellers. I just don't rep actors. I rep storytellers who are incredible humans. Because in my 30 plus years of being in the business, at the end of the day, I feel like humanity is the thing that opens doors. So I believe in law of attraction. So a lot of my talent are actually multifaceted, talented actors that have come either from the Broadway stage or were dancers or experts in one specific thing. And then they've always brought in their span. So into the TV, film, acting, writing, even directing.
So how do you think, upon reflection, having merged your behind the camera on stage experience now with your in front of the proverbial pitch deck talents, like how do you get people in the room? And do you think that some of those experience you've had as a performer, director, choreographer have informed or enabled you to do things in a different way?
I think my age. I think you and I come from a different generation, a performer, and even our ways of communicating in the business and that business acumen is different, you know, from this click, punch, touch, text type industry that we are in now currently. I think the people, you know, the money makers, you know, it's shifting. You know, there's a lot of young money makers, but they're all, you know, the tried and true networks, you know, are still have the older, you know, execs. So at the end of the day, I think that type of background of even agenting, like I was trained as an agent's assistant back in the early 90s. So, you know, under actually Dorothy Deiotis, who, rest in peace, you know, is the namesake for DDO Partners. Back in the days of when breakdowns would come in twice a day through facsimile or fax machine and on the dot matrix printer, and you had to pull that sheet and, you know, you had the wall of photos and headshots and resumes. And she had a very specific way of doing things. And I think that specificity and that just that attention to detail, you know, garners the attention of creatives of that generation.
Good. And when you say your people, who are your people? I know you said you like storytellers. Does that mean actors? Do you work also with playwrights, directors? Who are your clients?
I have actors, you know, that are starring on Broadway and in TV and films. I also have clients that also move into the directing and producing even documentary films. I have a wonderful client named Dre Castro, who just had a award-winning documentary called Baldy for the Blind, which kind of encapsulates this journey of 10 blind people getting to the summit of Mount Baldy, and it's been making its round in festivals. So yeah.
Well, congratulations. Yeah. Wow, what an incredible project. So it's really fun to speak with you, Anthony / Evan / Glenn, about all the things that you do. And if you could give our audience, let's talk to the 18 to 26ers, those aspiring for careers, those that are possibly just coming out of conservatoire or just graduating from a college or university, or came right out of high school and then they're like, okay, ready world, here I am. What would be a couple skill sets, some words of advice, I call them kernels of gold, that you could offer them? And then we'll go to the pivoting professional group.
So for the youngers, I would say know who you are. I think I went through three of my names because I was reactionary to the industry that I felt like I was swimming in.
Wow.
You know, so Glenn was my birth name. I had an agent in when I got to Broadway who thought that my last name was a little bit too arbitrary and thought that I needed to switch it up to be a little bit more Asian and a little more ethnic or Latino. So I wanted to use what I am using now, which are my middle names, Anthony Leonis, which is a little bit, I don't know, a little bit more Spanish. But I came across Evan DeAngelis because at that time, I think I was really struggling with who I was as a human. I had not come out at the time. I was very religious. So, and at that point in time on Broadway, I really thought that like my work on Broadway was like, you know, I have a relationship with a higher power. So I was always saying that my art wanted to, I wanted to be an evangelizer for the person or the power that I followed. So Evan DeAngelis came from that name, from that thought. So, and it just happened to also like click the other box of being a little bit enough Spanish. So, and it sounded great. My parents didn't fight over me changing my name to my mother's maiden name. So, yeah, that worked, and it worked brilliantly for the decades that I was on Broadway and on tour. But then I came out, and that was a different thing. So I was really, and I actually stepped away from acting completely for a bit just to understand like, oh, was I just covering or, you know, tapping my heels and doing turns just so you couldn't see like my struggle with my identity. So I really had to reassess, you know, what it was that I was doing in this field, because I knew I was talented at doing it. I just didn't know what my purpose was in doing it now as a openly gay man. So switching back, you know, I wanted to not only embrace who I was as a human and my sexuality, but also who I am as a Filipino, and understanding like that, that specificity matters. And I think we are, thankfully, we're at a time and a place that authenticity is actually welcomed. So I think, you know, for the young people that are out there, know who you are, you know, let people know who you are. The other thing is, I would say simple things is learn how to pick up a phone. Learn how to do a cold call. Or even if that's too much, like an email search and do a cold email, like reach out to your people that you know, that, you know, I believe in mentors. I had amazing mentors coming up. Some of which don't even know they were my mentors, but at the time, because, you know, I just was like grabbing morsels from people, exactly what we said, like, I believe in golden nuggets. And one of my golden nuggets came from Debbie Allen. Like Debbie Allen was like, you know, I would be, you know, I was fortunate enough to be invited to, I think, 3 years of her when she choreographed the Academy Awards. And at that time, I think I was at the height of my dance career in terms of my skill set. So I was with, you know, one of the top agencies. So I would get invited to Debbie Allen's, you know, Academy Award call every 6 months. It would be like clockwork. And you knew that if you got invited, you knew you were in that top. So whether she knew me or not, or like she was my, you know, was a mentee to me. So, or mentor to me. And I was a mentee just by being up, showing up, you know. And I think I remember another agent, she actually shifted my trajectory from being just a dancer, and not even just a dancer, but a dancer that just dances and or concert dance or whatever, to a musical person. So I think I went to a musical. She was doing a musical with James Ingram? Is that it? Is that James Ingram? Yes. I believe it was James Ingram. And it was at the Amundsen, and she was choreographing it. And I never had sung at an audition before. I'd sung karaoke tons of times because we as Filipinos love karaoke. So, you know, I had to go pick up my sheet music and went to this audition. And I remember her, you know, unfolding this brand new piece of sheet music to the pianist. And I didn't know what to do. She's like, stand on the line, baby. Tell the pianist how, give him the tempo. Stand on the X, tell him your tempo. Come on back, you know.
Sing now.
So I just sang for her, and I remember closing my eyes for a bit, and then I opened my eyes, and then I like, finished the song, and they were just kind of leaning in, and at the end, like, it just kind of was just quiet, and then they started whispering. They were like, and then she just turned and she said, baby, your voice is like butter on hot toast. You sound like Smokey Robinson. Like, she's like, and then I was like, thank you. And then I just was like, so did I get the job? She's like, no, we got to talk about this. And then I went back out, did a couple call, you know, audition rounds with the dancing. And we stood in a long line, you know, when you're like step forward, step back, stand the line, all that stuff. And then she didn't call my name, and I was on the back line, and I rolled my eyes, and she was like, you, I want to see you on the side. And she asked me like why I was rolling my eyes. And I, of course, it's your mentor, your like goddess. I like was weeping like, you call me in all the time. And, da, da, da. And she was like, baby, you just might not be the right thing for this, she, you know, but if you're in the room, you're meant to be here because you're good enough. You know, she said, you go back to your universe and you tell them that Miss Debbie Allen says you belong, you do musical theater, you know, make your voice like 200% better than everybody else. And then she goes, you know what? And actually, they're doing a show across the street. They're looking for people like you. Go across the street, knock on the door, tell them that Miss Debbie Allen said that you belong in their Broadway show. And I was like, okay, Miss Debbie. It was Miss Saigon, the tour Miss Saigon at the Amundsen. So I went out to the store day. Yep. Yeah. A year later, Broadway.
Yeah.
Only take advice from people. If you're getting from A to B, only take advice from people who have done the journey, who know the direction.
I like that.
Yeah, that came from another mentor of mine, who's Jody Benson.
And I have found that a lot of the CEOs that I've interviewed have really gone back to what's at the heartstrings in the last few years, what drives them at the deepest level, rather than just about positioning or popularity or let's say relative power, right? Because everybody's power is only as good as their relativity in the industry, as we know, it's volatile. So let's talk to the grown-ups. What would you bring to the table on that subject?
For the grown-ups, I would say embrace the technology. It's very difficult, I think, for a lot of people. I mean, I'm 50 and I do embrace the technology to an extent, but there are still like things where I'm like, don't text me. A discussion, a common ground with the youngers, because I think as much as we have embraced the technology, I think the technology also is very divisive in terms of being able to isolate everyone. So just being more tactile with my clients is a big thing. So yeah, I would say that would be a thing with the olders is, even though the challenge the youngers to also embrace a phone call.
Yes. Know how to deal with people, communication skills. They're the basics, but, it's funny. You're right. Because we're head down in our phones, on our laptops. People honestly forget how to have a conversation, engage, and make eye contact. Mm-hmm. And then I had a client I had to let go who was in her 50s because she just could not figure out how to do the self-tape in a time where everyone has to do self-tape. And it's more than just memorizing your lines and showing up in front of the camera. You have to be able to engage as almost like your own producer.
Right.
And if you don't have a team to help you, if your kids can't help you, if you don't have a friend, you know, you're going to really have a hard time. And, you know, as managers, we spend a lot of time getting our clients ready for those auditions. And then we spend a lot of time getting the auditions for our clients. And so you're talking to the buyers. You're also talking to your clients to nurture. But there's this sort of middle ground where they have to step up and do it themselves. Mm-hmm. And so I think those are very, very good pieces of advice. Know who you are and embrace the technology. Talk about how you manage, because these are the things that I'm most interested in. You know, I do it my way, and my way works for me and it works for my clients. And when it doesn't, that's the parting, you know, because I'm like, there's a lot of great managers out there. Maybe this just isn't the right match, right? Yeah. So what do you think are your go-tos? Like, why do people sign with you and why do they stay with you?
I think people who really want honest, truthful, you know, opinion that is, you know, with a manager who's gonna like lay it on thick and be direct, not because, you know, you need to be broken down or anything like that. No, because, you know, I always just say, like, life is short. Like, if you want to do this, like, let's just look, especially after 3 years of what we've been through.
Right. It's like, and then a year of
strike. And a year of strike. Exactly. So, you know, at the end of the day, like, you know, I just let go of someone yesterday and it was one of those things where, you know, sometimes when you let go of people, it can be traumatic, but I'm even getting to the place of like, no, you know what? It's just, it's not worth it. It's not worth to have the arguments. It's not worth to have any of those things. It's like, I want to wish you the best, because yes, like you said, there are amazing managers, tons of them out there, and it just might not be the best fit. So yeah, for me, yeah, if you want someone who's gonna have an opinion when you send me a tape in, who's gonna want the best for you, to get your tapes in early so that I can actually look at them and then edit them and finesse them or ask for a retake in time so that we can still get them in early. So, you know, so that you can get that call back and then be brought into a Zoom. Yeah, I think so. I think people stay with me because I care. Because I actually truly do care and have passion about my clients. And I'm not only on the level of their profession, but them as humans, because I think at the end of the day, it is a partnership. You know, I think it's been long enough that, you know, sometimes the drops, you know, don't feel so much like divorces anymore, but at the end of the day, it really should feel that way when you're with the right manager.
Is loyalty an antique word?
It's not in my book. It may be in others, but it absolutely is not in my book. To me, loyalty is almost at the top. Loyalty is the word before the A in my dictionary. Because we work too hard as managers, yeah, to have anybody do any, you know, do ill will to us, you know, because we, especially for the fact that we're doing it for nothing.
Something people don't understand, you know, if you're a working actor consistently bringing in income, that's great. And it's great for your team as well. But most of the time, the team is working for that 10% or 15% for free 90% of the time.
Exactly. That's what, yes.
And so I think the word team, which is overused and has been desensitized, in my opinion, is essential if you really believe that you're part of a team, not that your people work for you.
Right.
You have to think of it as a team. I have another client who's wonderful, and we check in on the daily, And she thanked me today. Oh my God, thank you so much for watching my show. I mean, it seems to me like to be a no-brainer. It means so much to me that you taped it, that you watched it, that you could download which scenes I should keep, you know. And I think, well, duh, of course I'm excited to watch you. This is the product of our work together to celebrate seeing you in action. How many times do you get to actually watch someone on a network and say, that's my client? Yay. Not only are they working, they're making money, I'm making money, and we're celebrating this great partnership. But apparently there's people who don't, because for whatever other reasons, you know. Listen, you know, it's hard when you have a big lineup of clients and they're all over the map and you've got multiple projects, and you know, but I think of it as a gift to have loyalty. And also I think on the other side of the Oreo cookie, to say to my other client, I get it. The idea that you don't want to hold on to something that isn't working strictly because you were raised to believe that loyalty is everything. It's like staying in a bad marriage.
A marriage, yeah, absolutely.
Right? You shouldn't do that either just for the sake of, you said, your vows. If things are really not going well for either of you and it's clear it's time to end the relationship, that's why we have contracts, that's why we have exits. But just be elegant about how you come out of a relationship the same way as we go into it. It's very exciting going into relationships. It can be very uncomfortable coming out of relationships. So I look at loyalty also with a big L, as that it's the other R and L together. Respect and loyalty, those are two very critical elements in how I do business. And so I'm really glad to hear that that's something that, because I heard another agent say to me, well, you know, it's just like widgets. You have a lot of widgets. Some hit it, some don't. And I'm like, wow, I could never work with that mindset of thinking my clients as widgets, but I get it. You know, that might be another way to be very successful, by thinking of the numbers, you know, put the numbers at the head of the quotient. I don't, I always think of the human ahead of the dollar sign. But I don't know, maybe I'd be a billionaire if I did business a different way.
No, you and I share the same thing in terms of our passion equals also heart. Like, I don't even think I embraced that, even that term, like I'm a person of color. I never, like, coming up as an actor or a dancer or anybody, I just knew I danced. I knew I had talent. Like, that had nothing to, that was nothing until, like, people put those labels on me. So that's why, you know, even my names were reactionary, you know? So I was like, oh, I have to change my name because I'm a little bit too this and too that. Cause I mean, I remember working for Disney and I was like 2-for-1. You get the Asian, you get the Hispanic. Like, you know, like, it was just one of those things. So coming up in that time, like, I just knew I wanted to be in the business. So a lot of, at the end of the day, I think it's whether or not people need to really ask that question. Is this what they want to do? And do they want to be successful at it? Then great. Then show up and show me what you can do. I think that, you know, and I think that's the other thing for me. I'm always going to be a dancer at heart. You know, we have that, dancers just get up. We pick up our, we get back up. If we fall out of a turn, we get back up and we do it again, and we try and master it, and we get better and we get better, regardless of what color, what genre music they're playing. At the end of the day, a triple pirouette is a triple pirouette, whether it's Tchaikovsky playing or hip hop music. Like, you know what I mean? So at the end of the day, like, you know, talent should open a door, at least stop someone with money in their tracks to, like, get someone's attention. I think in a world of social media, like, that's what it is. It's what, can you get my attention, and can you, do I want to buy what you're selling or what you're showing me, right? So at the end of the day, I think people need to really understand, like, not have this woe is me attitude of like, oh, that, or comparing themselves to other people, even within the room or within the roster. Like, you know, that's another thing. Like, you know, if I have clients, we're like, you're out. Like, if you think I'm going to pit you up against somebody that's on my roster at the end of the day, then you don't know who I am. You know, at the end of the day, every person on my roster is an individual. You know, they have their things. Like, I'm not going to compare you. I might make comps for casting, because I always think that I'm helping casting to see what they could be. But that doesn't mean I intrinsically believe that like my client is this person. You know, I'm just giving them comps, just like in real estate, you know?
In book market, we do the same thing, you know, Hunger Games meets Love Story or whatever, you exactly. know?
Yeah, and that I think that comps thing came from my, you know, work in literary when I worked at Kirsch for a little bit, like understanding like, oh, that's how they see things. And I think that's how, you know, that's how casting works as well. It's like understanding comps, because at the end of the day, all those people in those areas are not necessarily creative. They're just good at what they do specifically, you know, like if they have to, you know, casting people, there are amazing casting people who are uber creative, and there are amazing casting people that are uber to the book. And like this, I'm looking for a triangle and I needed the triangle. And then they go home and they put it away. You know, so I think it's also knowing, understanding who appreciates that artistry too, you know, in the business, understanding, and that takes time. That takes being able to like get to know people. And again, that's going back to understanding like who, you know, what casting people appreciate this talent, type of talent, what other casting people are like just about numbers and about like your star meter on IMDb and how many, you know, likes you have or how many followers you have. The law of attraction, understanding with my clients, like I need to understand what will get them up, what will motivate them to get out of bed, pull out the ring light, you know, look at their sides and figure it all out. You know, if I don't know what type of projects is going to do that for them, then I don't know my clients enough. You know, so I always tell them like, oh, I'm not going to know unless you tell me. So I need you to do this for me, you know, like, so they, you know, to go through, you know, the shows, not that you want to be on, but that you belong on. There's a big difference between wanting to be on a show and the, like, belonging in that show.
Oh, you're marketing, right?
Yeah, exactly. So I'm always like, do that analysis first of those shows, and then also then go to IMDb and search those projects, see who cast them. Tell me if you've been into those rooms before, if you already have, you know, if you've already had a relationship with that casting office or anybody, you know, like to do a real fine-tooth analysis of like where the connections lie to help me help you.
No longer have, as we did in my generation when I was an actress with agents in New York and LA, what we call general meetings. They happen very, very, very rarely. Sometimes if you're a Brit and you're coming with your new O-1 visa, your UK agent will set you up with another head of casting at a network. But because also the networks have all merged as of this month, and we're going to pretty much have three, there's less and less heads of casting at networks. It's really knowing the individual casting directors, knowing which assistants are working with them, and, you know, and the loyal assistants that end up being with the casting director through thick and thin and through tooth and nail for a while, because they move around, and then they became individual casting directors. And my mother, who used to write the cover stories for the DGA magazine, she was a journalist. She dabbled in talent management for a minute. And what I loved about her, she used her Bronx moxie. She's like, screw, I'm not gonna go talk to these casting directors. I'm gonna go talk to the producers and directors. And that's exactly what she did. She would pick up the phone and talk to the directors. Hey, remember, hi, it's Marilyn, da-da-da-da-da. I know you're working on so-and-so. And of course, the director being very busy would say, well, Marilyn, could you call my casting director? But the call coming from the director to the casting director would have a different impression, right? So the ladder was coming down instead of climbing up. And that was my mother's moxie. And I took a little of that with me when I started doing this. And I also think, going back to your comment about communication, your skills as a communicator are so essential. It's not just about here's a submission and a one line. It's about engaging and knowing the people you're selling to and having a little interest in their lives, because they're going through 1,000 submissions for that co-star. So you know, why should they open your mail or why do they listen to you? Because you show that you care a little bit. Hey, good morning. Happy New Year. I heard your dog got sick or whatever it was, you know, that we know through Facebook or some little old kernel. People like respond, you know, or just, you just did a deal for a client on a recurring co-star. And so you're like, okay, I have a little relationship over there. I'm going to pitch this new person who has no TV credits. And that assistant might just respond differently because you were so patient while they had to go through that Taft-Hartley paperwork with you.
Always lead with kindness and always assume that people are having a bad day.
So true. Yeah, assume that it's just, you know, don't call them on a Monday first thing in the morning. Maybe not after 4 o'clock on a Friday because they're dying to get out of the office too. And even those of us who work mostly remotely and from home, you know, just kind of be smart about your communication. It goes back to your clients too. You know, I have clients who are like, oh, I'm not going to be able to make it today, even though we had scheduled a week ago this 1 o'clock appointment and I knocked it out to make sure I'm available because they're 8 hours ahead of me in a foreign country. I'm not going to be able to make it. Sorry, it's the last minute. Could you meet with me on Sunday? No.
As a talent manager who's been doing this now for 22 years, I can tell you I'm proud of all of my clients. People who have possibly just come out of high school or a 2-year conservatory or a 4-year BFA program in college that are just starting their careers or just starting new components of their career after focusing on training and education. And then I have people who are killing it, bouncing from their first recurring co-star bookings to their first guest star to the first series of recurring guest stars and then now in negotiations for their first pilot. Or their first big feature film, as is the case for one of my clients this week. Going to producers and directors in person again, post doing everything Zoom and self-tape is pretty damn exciting. So when I asked Anthony Leonis if he could share some stories about 3 clients and their recent success, he did just that.
Well, I have one client who's currently a top of show recurring on The Cleaning Lady.
Frances Punzalan.
Been a fan of her work as a Filipino actress. And we had met just as in social circles. And she, at the time, I think she had someone. And going back to loyalty, I never interview people who have rep. Wow. Like I tell them, like, you know, when you're free and clear, you know where to find me, but be wonderful. And I think it was like a year later, she reached out to me and was open and we started working together. It's just been wonderful because I've gotten to know her again more as a human and understanding, like, because she's kind of coming in to her like third act in terms of even coming, you know, from a Filipino star to a full-time nurse and then going back into to film and TV here in the US. It's been really interesting to birth that synergy of, you know, her dreams of being a U.S. actor.
Nice. You
know, yeah, so it's been wonderful.
Others?
Let's see, others.
Trafina Wade.
Met her right at the beginning of the pandemic, and she was like, you know, it was at that time when all the Broadway people were like, you know, Broadway shut down, and everybody was like, if it's going to be the time to move to L.A., this is the time. Yeah, and we've just been, she hasn't even turned SAG yet, but she's been like number one on the call sheet for a feature film that's finally going to be coming out this year. So it's just like, you know, birthing those things with people. And even though she's like, I'm still doing non-union stuff, but I'm like, you know, building my reel, but she has this, you know, film that's, you know, waiting to come out. So it's so interesting. I think people don't understand, like, it takes time.
Yes. You know, I wanted to just clarify something for our listeners that because you said something very important that she can work non-union, but she was Sarabi for 10 years. So these are different unions.
So she was Actors Equity actor for 10 years on Broadway. And then when the pandemic shut Broadway down, she moved to L.A. and was like, I'm going to just start working in TV and film. And I started working with her and she started booking non-union features and then she booked a SAG feature and was Taft-Hartley, but yes, she was number one on the call sheet. And it's nice. Starring her and did that about probably like a year and a half ago. And we've just been waiting. And then it got pushed again once the strike happened. So we've just been waiting for this thing to come out. And then in the meantime, she's just been booking like leads and supporting roles in like non-union TV roles, you know, like Lifetime movies and all, you know, and she's getting to the place of like, okay, how many times do I get to play the cop or the doctor, right. You know? So it's just been funny. But it's been wonderful getting to know her. And she's also become, she's produced her own short films and understanding, like, you know, I've been encouraging her to like, yeah, find her voice. Cause she's like, you know, waiting for that film to come out. She's like, why am I waiting for that film to come out? I have a client named Christopher Grove, who he's in his 60s. He is just a joy to work with. I think it's one of those things where you sometimes you have clients that, you know, when you meet them, you're like, oh, I just want to work with them because you see the potential. And other clients you meet that you're like, I just want to work with you because you exude professionalism. You know, you know, I want to help you because if you're not working, someone's not doing their job because you're just so good at what you do. And he's been a producer. He's just a solid actor. He knows his craft, and he's always the first person to confirm, right. You know, get his tape in, like, no, there's never an issue. And he, you know, I've learned from him. So I think it's one of those things, you know, you also have clients that are like that, that you're like, that also stretch you and grow, not only, you know, and then he's excited to work with me because he's like, you know, I've never been with a rep who actually cares as much as you do, but you have the knowledge and the insight of the actor, you know, being in the room and understanding how that works. You've just had so many, worn so many hats, like you just get it. So like, I always feel confident that whatever I'm doing will all only just be accented by the professionalism that you do on your end.
When I say passion to power, you say?
Humanity to connection.
Got it. That's awesome. All right. I love that. Humanity to connection, passion to power. Thank you for your time.
So thanks very much for listening to this episode, and please share all the episodes with your friends and colleagues. We appreciate your ratings and comments on Apple Podcasts and on social media. If you'd like more information about our programs and our special people and projects, please access www.morezap.com, More Zap Productions for Talent and Literary. And if you'd like to book a special one-on-one coaching or a group clinic or workshop, please access passion-power.com, and you can fill out our form there and make a request. Thanks again.